Both Corey and Jay, who would normally pray our home for a number of reasons, and but we have just a number of people and things to pray for, and I'd like to lead us in a prayer having to do with those things. I won't remember everything, but I'm glad God knows our hearts and knows our needs. And so let me just pray for a moment here. Father, we want to just ask your grace and mercy for people who are grieving. And Lord, and people who are sick also. And Father, I pray for my friend, Richard Fox, whose wife passed away a couple of weeks ago, that you would help him with his grieving process. Comfort his heart. I thank you for Brother Chuck Cherney, who is here this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that Darlene is safely home. But I pray that you will comfort his heart as he's been through a lot of changes. Father, I pray for Chris Campbell's mom, who is in the hospital and who is in a very serious way, that you would comfort her. And I know that it is Chris's desire that her mom come to know Christ in these last days of her life. And Lord, she's been grateful for people who have come alongside and prayed with her mom, people working at the nursing home, and we're grateful for that. Would some of you help remind me of people who have lost loved ones? Yes. Mm-hmm. I have one announcement to make, and that is that the youth group is not going to be meeting tonight. Is that right?
Correct.
Right. And did you folks have a wonderful New Year's Eve gathering? Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. We're glad for the things that can go on. Yes, Jack.
Is Awana going to start back up on Thursday?
It is my understanding that Awana is going to start back up, but I don't know. I will have to check on the date. Thank you very much. Keith? Very good. Good. This is good. It's nice to be able to be together and have announcements. I see I'm sorry, Nancy.
Are we getting
together
on Saturday?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
Very good. Yes, we are. Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be here and ask God to give us some clear direction for this year on how to reach out to our community in this difficult time. Where are you pointing? Yes, Nancy.
So Awana is on the calendar for this Thursday,
as I said to Jack, I'm going to have to check on that. And you can call the church office if you're thinking about that. Michelle, do you happen to know? We don't. Yep. I would think if it's on the calendar and that Ruth has prayed and talked about it with her folks, that we're going to be starting. So I would call. Bill.
5 o'clock Wednesday, there will be a Bible study fellowship starting. One of the only live Bible study fellowships in the whole world. And they're all on Zoom, except right here. And we can set you up, and you don't need a computer. Everything will be in paper. We'll be meeting here at 5 p.m. Wednesday.
Right. Studying the book of
Genesis.
Genesis. Very good, Bill. This is Bill Foley, and he is part of Bible Study Fellowship for many years and offered that he would begin and lead. And Bible Study Fellowship is a solid, in-depth Bible study. And so we'll be doing that starting Wednesday night, 5 o'clock. Beautiful. right here in this room. We'll be doing that. So I'm going to just start into what I'd like to share with you this morning. I started by saying we have a past, we have a testimony, and we've seen how God has seen us through. And I really think that what Paul went through and what things we will go through, just to know that Christ will see us through, that he will be faithful. And I love the words, brought safely through. And someday, when you're in heaven, you'll be safely home, and he will have brought you safely through this life. The second thing is, we have a future. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I just call this, we have a future. And kind of setting up for a little announcement about this Saturday. This Saturday, we're going to be tackling a few questions. We're going to be thinking through, how can we better reach Somerset with the gospel during these difficult times? And so we'll be thinking about that. To lead into that, I just want to say we have a future. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about this. It says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, and by the way, we have ministry because of God's mercy toward us, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Man, we just never want to change up God's word. We don't want to change the way of salvation. We don't want to change God's story that he has established. We're not going to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. I'm going to skip the next part that talks about Satan veiling the eyes of the unbelievers and go down to verse 5. It says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants. So we proclaim Christ, and we do it for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then Paul just begins to recognize the truth of our frailties. You know that God knows that we are weak and that we are flesh and that we can be discouraged and we can be hindered by things in this world. Look at these words in verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We're the jar of clay. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So as we look forward to doing more ministry in Somerset and Outingdale and River Pines and wherever we live, we know that it is not about us, it's about God. The power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, Paul says. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We may be persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always, we are going to be carrying about in the body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. That is the message that we have. If you have a message of hope and salvation for anybody you know, it's because the grace of Christ, the work of Christ, what Christ has done, and we let we offer ourselves and we say, God, use us, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. We may be, you know, we may succumb to death from some earthly thing, but the work of Christ, the life of Christ, the salvation that we offer is at work all the time. We may be dying, but the message of Christ is not. Okay? So we have a future, and that's where I'd like to leave that. The third thing is, what we offer is Christ. And I think that's clear, but we really don't have anything else to offer. Now, we may have avenues to share Christ. We use food bank to share Christ, and Awana to share Christ, and youth group to share Christ, and we're going to continue to share Christ, but what we offer is Christ, His church, His hope. And by the way, the church is a mighty thing. So I just see Clay sitting there, and he just told me a testimony about going and being part of the church when they were visiting Hogan in Hawaii, and how they got to be with Christ's church on the beach. And they shared communion on Christmas Eve, and they shared a worship time together. And God's church is alive and well, even though the church has been changed this year because of COVID-19. We are the church. We are the gathering of God's people. So what we offer to the world is Christ, His church, and His hope. And we have examples. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. As I was getting ready for this morning, I kept thinking, wow, it's New Year, Happy New Year's, new day. You know, what's the new message for the church? And you know what I'm going to tell you? The new message is the old message. The same message. It is the message of Christ. And in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, I just want to read this to you as a realistic example of what Paul and the disciples were going through. In Acts chapter 20, it says, after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. I just want to say, can you see the detail that's happening in Paul's life right here? He was a Christian man, an ambassador for Christ, called to preach the gospel. And he went from preaching the gospel to encouraging the brothers in Christ to being accused, to being imprisoned, to being chained, to being whipped, to being beaten, to see the miraculous raising up. And he is sent out again to preach the gospel. And he's chained and he's taken to Rome and he's imprisoned, chained to other people. And, you know, we try to maybe make it a little romantic. You know, Paul was chained to those people and they had to hear the gospel, right? We say things like that. But Paul was chained. It was not easy. And I just wanted to say, we have examples. Our Christian faith and our Christian responsibility to ministry is going to be costly. It's going to be that you invest yourself in doing the ministry. You may, as we talked about last time, put up with people who are rude or critical or judgmental or tell you that you're stupid for following Christ. And what we have in Acts chapter 20 are these examples, example after example after example of the hard work of ministry, the hard work of lifting up the name of Christ. The next thing, we have, we must continually abide in Him. So I just want you to turn to John chapter 15 for a moment. And if there was a verse that I would say would be a key verse for us, would be this verse. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I just want to say that it is imperative that we consistently abide in Christ. Maybe it's just part of our human flesh, our humanity, that we try to divide up or segment our Christian life. Often in years past, I've drawn a circle on a piece of paper and then made it like a pie, put different pieces of the pie so you could see 8 or 10 pieces made out of this circle. And I would have somebody look at it, and I'd say, let's just put a name for the different parts of your life on these different pieces of pie. And when we're done, I'd say, how much does Christ want of your pie? Does he just want a little piece that says church on it? He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole pie. He wants us to consistently abide in him. Lord, help us consistently abide in you. That everything is subject to you. Everything is guided by you. Everything is subjected to you. That we're in obedience in every area of our life. In this passage, when we think we think about effective ministry as Pioneer Bible Church, and by the way, let me say, I need every person in this building. I need you. I need you with your gifts and abilities and willingness and talents and investment. I need you. We cannot be the complete body of Christ unless we are working together. And so he tells us that we need to abide, and he reminds us in this verse. He said, Jesus says, I'm the vine. And I'd love for you to read and study the whole passage of John 15. The whole thing is about this relationship that we have. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And there is a part of us that often thinks we can accomplish things without Christ. We just do it on our own. Do it in our own strength. Do it in our own timing. Do it in our own way. And you know what he says? He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, it is him that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing significant, nothing lasting, nothing eternal, nothing Christ glorifying, unless you're doing it in him. You're abiding in him. Lord, keep us from thinking that we can carry out ministry, carry out Christian life in our own strength. We need to be abiding in him. So we have a past, we have a future. What we offer is Christ. We have examples. We must consistently abide in him. And then, you know this, but we are called and chosen to go. Someone already mentioned it. Matthew 28, I'm going to repeat it again because it is the mission and the purpose for the church. Matthew 28, Jesus is leaving. He's ascending back into heaven, and he is talking to the disciples, and he says these words. We are the called and the chosen. We are the ones to go. He says in 28, verse 19, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I'm just going to say, that is our mandate. That is what I am called to do. That's what Pioneer Bible Church exists for, is that we would go into all the world. The world right now is Somerset and our surroundings right here. We have missionaries who we are helping to support, and they are going out. In fact, by the way, I had a little conversation with Marcelo this week, and he just said, say hello to the brothers and sisters of Pioneer Bible Church. Give them my love. And he said that they had, on Christmas Eve, they said they fed 485 people, and that 110 of them had made a decision to believe in Christ. So I'm happy to share that with you. We are called as well. Go ye therefore into all the world with purpose to make disciples. That is, an individual will put their faith and trust in Christ and now begin to follow the Lord Jesus. And by the way, that's what we're doing. We are sharing with others. First of all, we're a disciple. And we are growing in Christ. And we are to share so that other people can become disciples of Christ. And disciples of Christ are people who have believed in the Christ, and they have believed that he is God in the flesh, that he died, that he rose again, he ascended to heaven, he is the Savior of the world. And if you say yes to him, you're a disciple of his. And by the way, we've had lots of messages on how the disciples are supposed to treat one another, love one another, care for one another, lift each other up in prayer. If someone is caught in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Meekness, lest you yourself also be tempted. There is this mutual care for one another that we have as the body of Christ. So Jesus says, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I just want to re-say what baptism is. Baptism is you have believed in Christ. Now you are identifying with the disciples of Christ. You're identifying with the body of Christ. And you are baptized into water, representing the death and the resurrection of Christ. You have died to the old man, and you have been raised in newness of Christ. And, you know, we just practice baptism. We just have one baptism service, maybe two or three during the year in somebody's pool. We don't have a baptism place, although I was told it was plumbed for one when we started. And I thought, you know, maybe we need to dig up that old plumbing and get it started, because we are called to make disciples and to baptize them, that people have the opportunity to show their faith in an action of obedience. Go ye therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them, and the teaching of the church, the Sunday school hours, the baptism, the Bible studies, the Awana time, the new BSF that we're doing. On Saturday, I think we're going to come up with even more ways that we can be growing. It says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You know, friends, what Christ has given us, what God has given us in the Word, these are the words of life. These are the words of truth. I just want to say this. It is the beginning of the year. It's the third. I just thought, it's my son's anniversary. I probably should call him and wish him happy anniversary. This is the day Jonathan and Sarah were married. But it's the new year. And I don't know what your Bible reading practices are. But here's what I know. If you're not consistently reading God's Word, you will drift in your spiritual life. You will drift. And for some reason, that picture is just cemented in my mind. And that is, the boat comes up, and when you dock the boat, you're supposed to tie it off. Why? So it doesn't drift. We need to be tied off. We need to be tied off to the Word of God. And, you know, there are Bible reading programs. In fact, that app called YouVersion has a terrific Bible reading app that you can read through the Scriptures. There are many online. Your Bible probably has a Bible reading chart in it, how you can follow the Word. And somebody told me recently, you know, a couple years ago, you challenged us to read through the Bible. And they did. And they learned things that they had never learned before about the Word of God. You know, it's like having a treasure chest right at your fingertips. And back in the Proverbs, it says, dig into the Scriptures like a man would dig for gold. My father-in-law used to say, you know, I would read so I could find those nuggets in God's Word, and I could learn God's Word. I don't know what your practice is, but don't let yourself drift. be in the Word of God. So we abide in Him. We're called to go into the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And by the way, why does Christ want us to know all the things that He has commanded us? We know what to do. That is where freedom is. That is where hope is found. That's where you understand and are you reminded of the promises of God. That's where you understand the power of God and the ability of God and the character of God is by reading through these events that took place all through Scripture, and we see the God of heaven who has come and interacted with man, and He's leading us. All of it pointing from the very first page to the last page to the Messiah who came to be our Savior, teaching the Word of God. And then it says, know this, take note, be confident. I am with you till the end of the age. And it just says in the Scripture, and lo, I am with you always. But the idea of that is not, it's not just passé, it is a very proactive, I am with you always. Know this. Be confident of this. Be assured, I am with you. You know, we were taking communion a few minutes ago. And I asked you to be introspective and to examine your hearts. That's what God does to us. He examines our heart. You know, when you realize He is always with you, it's a great comfort, but also it's a great admonition because He's always with us. I wanted to leave that. So we are the called and we are the chosen. The next thing is we have a message. Our new message is the same consistent message. I'm just going to give you some examples from the book of Acts and some other places. It is the same message that Paul gave to King Agrippa. And by the way, you know what his first title was? Herod Agrippa. And he was related to Herod, who was there during the days when Jesus was born. And he was in the line of the Herods. And Paul preached. And you know what message he preached? He preached that Emmanuel, God with us, was violently crucified and rose again, and he gave that message to King Agrippa, the same message we preach. It's the same message that Peter preached to the Jewish people in Acts chapter 2 to put their faith and trust in Christ. It's the same message which Peter and John said to the lame man who they met at the door of the temple when they said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. It was that same message. It's the same message that Stephen preached and then gave his life for in Acts chapter 7. It's the same message that the Philippian jailer heard and was saved when Paul and Silas were in prison and they were singing and the earth quaked. And the jailer came in, and what was he going to do? He was going to kill himself. Why? Because he was responsible for all these prisoners. And Peter and Silas, Paul and Silas said, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. And the man was amazed by the life of these men who he had heard singing the night before. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And friends, it was the same message. The same message they preached is the same message we preach. It is the only message of hope, the only thing that can bring salvation. And so, yes, Pioneer Bible Church has been here for 50 or 60 years, and we've been preaching the same message. And it's the same message, and it's the same glory that we want to offer to Christ for everything that He has done. I want to say this, our gospel message, the good news of Christ, as it says in Matthew 1, the gospel message was planned and designed by God in ages past, Acts 2 tells us. It was penned by Moses, who surrendered his life to the gospel. Hebrews 11 tells us that Moses, who lived hundreds of years before Christ ever came, that Moses, it says that he gave up the riches of Egypt to follow who? The Christ. Incredible. It was penned by Moses. It was prophesied and foretold by all the Old Testament prophets. And Matthew 23 delineates how that the prophets gave the message and the Jewish people killed prophet after prophet after prophet because they didn't want to surrender to the Messiah who had come. It was lived out in the Christmas events of Luke chapter 2 and all as Jesus is born. We just celebrated a few weeks ago. It was proven, this gospel message is proven that Emmanuel is God in the flesh by signs and wonders. And it is spoken over and over again. This gospel message is the path of all true Christian disciples, the message that we preach. Many people came to painful deaths as a result of the gospel message, but they had a painful death with eternal promises, and God says that over and over again. And it is this gospel message that we proclaim to all nations, and we will continue to proclaim. You know, my buddy Marcelo, who is in Mexico somewhere, and I try not to say exactly where anymore because he's still kind of under the gun and under the microscope of different nations and different customs and so on. But boy, he preached the gospel of Christ. And 110 people got saved on Christmas Eve. That is the gospel. And then it is the power of God. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who does what? Everyone who believes. That's right. And it is the provision for our eternal life. Just simply John 3:16. You know, the Bible tells us our citizenship is in heaven. Our homeland is in heaven. And in John 3, God so loved, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believed would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a provision. So this is the message of Christ Church. And this is the message of Pioneer Bible Church. And our goal is to make the gospel as effective, be the brightest light and the greatest reflection for Christ that we can be in Somerset, California. So, in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, beautiful are the feet of those who do what? Those who preach the good news, those who bring good tidings of great joy, those who preach the gospel. And I heard one guy say one time, are your feet beautiful? You know, look at your feet. Are they beautiful? If they're carrying the gospel of peace, then you have beautiful feet. Isn't that great? Paul said, beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of truth. So I want to just give a quick invitation. This Saturday, January 9th, from 9 in the morning till 12, I would love for you to put this on your calendar. And it's this Saturday, so 6 days from now, I'm asking for your help. I would love for you to be here. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk together, and I've already been praying, our elders have already been praying, that God will bring you, and when the question is asked, how can we better reach Somerset and the surrounding area now, during this year, 2021? That God will have touched your heart and say, you know, I've been thinking and praying about this. What about this idea? And there will be opportunities for you to share. Then as a group, we're going to have to pull those in and say, okay, let's kind of pick the three or four main areas we can present to the whole church body. And then there's going to be, okay, who's going to do what by when? You know? Katie, what's your part going to be? Mark, what's your part going to be? Nancy, what's your part going to be? And each person taking a part in doing these things that we have prayed over and asked God to do in our church. So January 9th from 9 to 12, this Saturday, we're going to gather. We're going to be looking for effective ways during these trying times to be involved in reaching Somerset with a life-saving gospel. You know, there is no doubt that, what? That's right, we're going to be on Zoom. Yes, thank you. Wonderful. So people on Zoom, you can be here through Zoom on January 9th with us. And the guys figured out how to dialogue back and forth, so you'll be able to actually speak with us and present your ideas as well. Thank you very much. So these are the questions, and I'd just like for you to think about them. Now, I don't know, you know, maybe you're thinking, well, you know, the two girls are sitting there, you know, maybe she'll go, maybe Clay's thinking, well, maybe Sherry can go, I don't need to go. Friends, I'm hoping you'll all be here. I'm really hoping we'll all be here. And we will have prayed this week and said, God, guide our thoughts. You know, maybe Chuck will say something, and then Brian will go, you know, that makes me think about this. What about this idea? And because you know what, you guys, I've done church with you for the last 26 years, and I've done church my whole life. But church is not the same the way we can do it now. The needs are not the same. The people outside in Somerset who are in their homes, and some have not gotten out of their homes for months, how do we bring Christ to them? How do we serve them? What are their needs? How can we reach them? Okay, these are the three questions. What are we going to do to reach our community for Christ? That's number one. Two, what are we going to do to grow deeper in our trust, faith, and walk with Christ? We're going to be talking specifically about how can you grow deeper in your faith and trust in Christ? The last question is, what steps can we take to develop servant-hearted leaders who love Christ, have a passion for the lost, and serve Christ's church? So we're going to be talking about those things. My hope is that from 9 to noon, it's going to be a fast morning, that we're going to be able to share ideas, pray together, come up with some action steps, and then be able to say, okay, these are some things we can practically do to reach our community for Christ. And I am thrilled. I can't tell you how excited I am and ready and just anticipating what God's going to do through you. So that's the message that I wanted to share with you today. And I'd like to invite the worship team to come up. You know, I believe that probably everybody here has trusted Christ as your Savior. If you have not, I really want you to know Christ personally and be able to commit your life to Christ and follow Him, to be His disciple. And so I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to sing a worship song, and we're going to be heading on home. If you have any questions about Saturday, please feel free to talk with me. It is going to be from 9 to noon. If you want to bring some snacks to have something while you're here, that would be great. We'll have breaks, so it won't just be a constant 3 hours. We'll have some breaks to talk. I know that some of you don't want to wear a mask, and other people don't feel safe without a mask. I don't care how you're here. I want you to be here, mask or no mask. I want you to be careful. If you do get sick, we'd like to ask you to participate on Zoom. Otherwise, you know all those things. We'll try to take care of each other. Let's pray right now. Father, I thank you that these things are true from the Scriptures. The Bible is truth. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we might be saved, and that's the name Jesus. Jesus, God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, crucified, buried, risen, and ascended into heaven, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us right now. Thank you, God, how you work. And Lord, I pray for anybody here or listening that might have never trusted in Jesus. Our conscience and the fact that we're made in the image of God teaches us that we need a Savior. We're sinners. We need saving. And I pray, Lord, that if anybody's hearing you, Holy Spirit, through my voice, or we're praying now, Lord, that each person would be saved and would trust, believe and trust in you. Father, now, during our singing time, our goal is to lift up your name. to lift up your name, to glorify you, to acknowledge that you deserve our praise. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Use us this week. Bring us together next Saturday to your honor and glory. I pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing with Mike and the team.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know us saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove to know. To trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
I love that song, Lord, give us grace to trust you more. I would just like to say out loud that when I was a kid, I went to the First Baptist Church of Placerville, which became Cold Springs Community Church later on. And I just wanted to ask you a question. At the end of the service, often Pastor Neville Aruis, who was my pastor, would just point to somebody and say, would you close in prayer at the end of the service? And I always thought that was special. And so I guess I'm just kind of saying out loud, if you're willing, I may call on you to just say a closing prayer. You know, Lord bless us, keep us, take us, use us, something. And so I'm not going to pick on anybody right now, but I just want you to know that I would love to start doing that, just to include and have prayer covering from other people in the church. Father, we thank you. Use us to your honor and glory. We love you. Thank you for the grace that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to share that grace through the ministries here and the ministries in our lives, our neighborhoods, our homes, to your honor and glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Really looking forward to Saturday. I hope you can be here. God bless you.
Trust in more, oh, for grace to trust in.